Next week, UEA students will decide, as they do every 3 years, whether or not to continue the union boycott of all Nestlé products. Mike Brady from Baby Milk Action is with us in the studio. His organisation claims that Nestlé continues to aggressively promote its baby milk formula in the developing world, despite the fact that breastfeeding is far safer. Among the charges against Nestlé are that they give incentives to health workers to promote their products, and that they offer free samples to mothers while they're in hospital, diminishing their ability to lactate and giving the company a captive market once mother and child leave hospital. We'll talk to Mike about this in a few minutes, but first, I spoke to Nestlé about some of these charges a little earlier on. Here's how it went. I'm being joined by Beverly Miranda. She's the Senior Policy Advisor for Nestlé UK, as UEA gears up for next week's referendum on the student union boycott of all Nestlé products. Beverly, good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi, Beverly. Now, first of all, Baby Milk Action sent a representative to UEA yesterday. Were you invited to do the same this week or not?
We were invited, but we were unable to make it. The date was inconvenient, but we had come over to UEA 3 times before this.
Organisations such as Baby Milk Action and UNICEF say that the decline in breastfeeding in developing countries accounts for around 1.5 million infant deaths per year. Do you accept their claims that bottle feeding can cause death?
Just let me clear that. Breastfeeding is the best. There's no two arguments about that. I'm from the developing world. I'm a mum who brought up my children there. I was always a working mum. I was working for government when I had my kids. I did breastfeed, so I fully support breastfeeding. But there is another product called baby milk, which is there as a choice for mums. About this statistic of 1.5 million deaths, really WHO has replied saying 1.5 or however many numbers of babies could be saved if they are adequately fed. And they clarify what they mean by this, and that is that more often than not, what is in that bottle is not infant milk or a baby milk, but it's something which a mum has and she makes in the house. Or she uses the milk of the animal on the farm, which could be cow's milk, it could be goat's milk. In Sri Lanka, it's plain tea. It could be in Africa, sugar water, starch water. Any type of water, or it could be even plain water.
Now, one of the main things that Baby Milk Action and other people in the sort of boycott network talk about with regard to baby milk is that if it's used and mixed with water, particularly in countries where water is perhaps unsanitary, that can be especially dangerous. Do you agree with that?
Wherever water is not boiled properly, it could be a problem. But what has happened in the developing world is that lots of mothers now are working mums, so they're fully aware of what has to be done, that the water has to be boiled, cooled, that the bottle has to be boiled. Mm-hmm. And if you look at the statistics, breastfeeding rates are on the increase, and infant mortality has dropped quite drastically. One reason would be education of mothers.
Okay, now Baby Milk Action and its partner organisations have accused baby milk companies, including your own, of a number of things. I'd like to put a few of those to you and allow you the opportunity to put your response to them on the record, if I may. Firstly, does Nestlé offer any incentives to any health workers to promote its baby milk products?
No, we do not. Again, this is something, you see, this happened, which was done by all baby milk companies, not only Nestlé, which happened in the 60s and 70s. And that included advertising of baby milk, giving of free samples, pictures of babies on pack, direct contacts with the mothers, etc. But all this stopped from 79 to by 81. All this was stopped. And really, I think something we didn't do was to go out and talk proactively about this, which we have now started doing from about 2001. So lots of these allegations is something that happened in the 60s and 70s, and now the policy of Nestlé, I'm talking of Nestlé, is there's no advertising, there's no promotion, there's no contact with mothers, there's no free samples, there's no incentives given to health professionals. What you can do with health professionals, you can provide scientific and factual information. And that we do, because Nestlé is one of the biggest resources of nutritional, scientific information in the world. and that we do provide, which we are entitled to in terms of the WHO code.
So just to clarify, you mentioned free samples there, that leads me on to my next question. Does Nestle offer free samples of baby milk to hospitals or individual parents under any circumstances whatsoever?
We do not provide free samples. In fact, we have tightened this requirement even further, so there's no free donations of any baby milk given to hospitals. It's only if the national rulings permit that it will be provided. Otherwise, there's no donations or free samples given, and this stopped somewhere in about 93, 94.
Now, you talked about how you know, this kind of malpractice ended either in the end of the 1970s or, in the case of the thing you just said, 1993, 1994. If there's an ethical consumer out there who's, you know, quite sceptical about some of the claims you're making, having heard the claims made by your opponents, what kind of objective evidence is there to prove that you know, what you're saying is the truth?
Well, something we have always done is we've had our own internal audits. In addition, where necessary, we have had external audits. We have had it in Pakistan. It was done by a company called EME. And in addition, as recent as last year, we had Bureau Veritas, which did an audit in three African countries of their own choice. That was South Africa, Nigeria, and Mozambique. Mm-hmm. And they audited these companies against the Nestle's instructions. And they found no systemic shortfalls in any of those three companies.
Now, to go back to something you said a moment ago, you talked about how you don't give free samples to hospitals anywhere unless the national laws permit that. Is that correct? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Now, you know, if there are national rules that do permit that, are you then saying that in those circumstances you do offer free samples to hospitals?
We do not give any free samples to hospitals because, as far as I'm not aware really with the national rules permitted, but I don't even say, for example, in Sri Lanka, you cannot donate any free samples. Even over the tsunami, when I was there in Sri Lanka, there were requests for free samples. We didn't. It was only provided to the government, clinics at the government's request.
Right. So
we are that strict and that careful about donations.
Right. So just to clarify, you don't even give free samples to hospitals in countries where the law permits that. Is that what you're saying?
If the government, it has to be a government, a national ruling. If it is only that, it will be provided. Otherwise, no.
Okay, now, the World Health Organization has an international code of marketing on breast milk substitutes. Boycott organizers in the UK and elsewhere have asked Nestle to adopt the guidelines in that code as minimum standards of conduct in every country where you operate. You currently only accept it in some countries. Why is that?
We accept, you see, the code, when it was passed in 81, was passed as a recommendation to governments, for governments to make it law to suit their legal, social, economic needs. So in the developing countries, that is our minimum standard. Irrespective of, say, the law is less stringent, the code is our minimum standard.
In every developing...
developed countries, say, for example, right. The UK, we implement how the UK government has made the code into law.
Okay, so you're saying in every developing country you use the guidelines set out in the code by the World Health Organization as your minimum standards?
Correct. That's correct.
Okay, now, one of the claims made by Baby Milk Action and other groups is that you haven't given the same status, you haven't accepted the same status for other sort of resolutions passed by the World Health Assembly after that initial WHO code. Do you give other resolutions from the World Health Assembly the same status of recognition as you give the original code, and if not, why not?
We do. In fact, we are the only company in 2003 to have unilaterally implemented the WHO recommendation recommending exclusive breastfeeding for 6 months. So much so that in all in the developing countries, all our labels have been changed, all our educational information. Our recommendation is that exclusive breastfeeding must be for 6 months. So we do accept that the resolutions and the code are one document.
OK, Okay, now Baby Milk Action claims to challenge Nestle to participate in an independent public tribunal in this country to determine, after testimony from relevant experts, whether or not Nestle acts ethically in developing countries. Have you refused this invitation, and if so, why?
Well, we do believe in constructive dialogue, in constructive engagement, and if this sort of public hearing will lead to that constructive dialogue, we are willing to do so. We've done it for, we have debated this with Baby Milk Action, not only in students, universities, but in a number of other places. But otherwise, if it is more a politically driven agenda, I'm sorry, then it doesn't serve any purpose, and on that basis, we would say no.
So what I'm saying is, if there was an independently organized tribunal, not organized by Baby Milk Action, but organized by an independent, you know, arbitrator who you both agree to, would you agree to go along with that, would you?
We'd like to know, you know, we'll have to look at it, because we'll have to check how independent are these dames and what the arbitration panel is. We'll have to look at it at that stage.
But hypothetically, it's something you would be happy to do under the correct circumstances?
Well, under the correct circumstances, if the panel is independent, we may consider it.
Okay, now finally, briefly, could you explain why UEA students should vote against the boycott next week?
Yes, I...
Just to summarise...
...recommend that they vote against the boycott on the basis that Nestle does recognise that breastfeeding is the best. We do accept that the code is a minimum standard in the developing countries, but we believe there's a product called Baby Milk, which is there as a choice for women in the developing world. A choice that women here in the developed world have exercised. And it's the same aspect of choice that students should be able to adopt. They should be entitled to choose whether they want to buy our product or they want to not buy our product. That's their decision.
All right, Beverly Miranda, Senior Policy Advisor for Nestle UK, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
All right, I'm now here with Mike Brady, who's the Campaigns and Networking Coordinator for Baby Milk Action. Mike, good afternoon.
Hi, Dolph.
Now, Mike, we spoke to Beverly Miranda from Nestle earlier on, and she admits that Nestle and other baby milk companies have done wrong in the past, but says that they've cleaned up their act long ago. So is this boycott just punishing Nestle for things that happened in the distant past?
No, it's what they're doing today. And if you take a look at our website, you can see the sorts of promotional materials they're putting out and reports of other malpractice. As I speak, they've got medical representatives in retail outlets in China trying to convince parents to use their Nestlac formulas. These were removed from the shelves because they had too much iodine in them, and Nestle was refusing to remove them until there was a consumer boycott. Now they're trying to get back into the market and undo that damage, and they're putting people in the stores making direct contact with the parents, which is totally prohibited by the marketing requirements they should be following.
Now, you say they're still up to their old tricks, but a brand of Nestle coffee has just been given the fair trademark, so surely this is the sign of a company that's paying attention to ethics, isn't it?
This is the sign of a company that's got a serious problem and knows it. The fair trade product is already being used by Nestle as an attempt to divert criticism, not just of the baby milk issue, but the way it behaves in the coffee industry. Its fair trade product will benefit less than 0.1% of the farmers who are dependent on Nestle. The amount of coffee is 0.02% of the coffee they purchase. The majority of farmers, nearly 100%, are outside this system, and they've seen their incomes collapse because of the action of Nestle and the other big coffee processors in the market. They're doing it because they want to paint themselves as a fair trade company, but they're far from it.
Now, I put some of your claims, your organisation's claims, to Ms. Miranda, and she gave some interesting answers. When pushed, she told us that Nestle does not give free samples of their product to hospitals anywhere in the world. Is that true? And if not, what's the problem with them doing that?
They do continue to give free supplies. Baby Milk Action is part of the International Baby Food Action Network, which consists of over 200 groups in more than 100 countries. And our partners around the world are monitoring the companies and reporting what is going on. Last year we launched a report called Breaking the Rules, Stretching the Rules 2004, with results from 69 countries. And this is showing that Nestle and other companies are continuing to give free supplies. Beverly says these things, but they're not true, and she knows they're not true. When Nestle made similar claims in an anti-boycott advertisement a few years ago. We challenged it before the Advertising Standards Authority, and we won. And the ASA told Nestlé to stop making these claims. She can get away with it on the radio because the ASA has no jurisdiction over it. But it's not true, and she knows it's not true.
Now, Ms. Miranda also claimed Nestlé would consider attending an independent tribunal on this whole issue, which is something that Baby Milk Action, I know, has suggested a few times. She said they would do it under the right circumstances. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I think this is news to me. The last letter on this issue from Beverly was saying just the opposite, that they wouldn't get involved in something like this. So I think we can chalk this up as another victory for the boycott, and really for UEA putting the pressure on them and raising the question. They're saying it perhaps because they hope it will make the referendum go their way, but now you've got that on tape, so we'll go back to them. We've been calling for several years for this independent tribunal. We take part in debates with them, although Nestlé refused to debate with us here today at UEA for reasons I don't understand. But at debates, you can only get so far through the issues, and we want the chance to unpick everything they say, because what their claims fall down very quickly when you start to look a bit deeper, and we present the evidence and we can call witnesses. So yes, we'll definitely be following this up with Nestlé.
So if we just accept for a moment that Nestlé are still doing wrong and what have you, and are an unethical company, why though? That doesn't necessarily explain in the views of some people at UEA, I think, why the student union should have a boycott. Shouldn't individual students be able to view the facts and decide for themselves whether or not to buy those products?
Well, I hope many students are supporting the boycott individually, so it's not just support when they're at UEA, but it's support wherever they are that they're turning down Nestlé products and raising these concerns with their friends and wherever Nestlé rears its head. But the student union is here to represent students. It can act collectively, and with the support that there has been for the boycott here, it's had a significant impact. Nestlé is going around the world saying it's an ethical company, but when you look at surveys that have been done, you find it's one of the most boycotted companies in the world, the most boycotted in the UK. This keeps this in the public eye. It keeps the pressure upon Nestlé. We've won some important victories and changes in policies, nowhere near enough, but some movement. And it comes about because of people like student unions taking collective action. In all your campaigning, you have a stronger voice when you act together.
But my point is essentially that given that there is a debate, a genuine debate about this, as you can tell by the fact that there are a number of students supporting the No to the Boycott campaign, therefore, should it not be the case that people can go to the Nestlé website, they can go to your website, and then just go into the shops and either pick up a Nestlé or pick up a Mars bar or pick up a Cadbury's, whatever they want?
It's going to be a decision from the student union and the students. There's going to be a referendum. There will be a democratic decision that's made. As I say, acting collectively, your voice is stronger, both in the message it sends to Nestlé, but it also means that students across the campus will know about this issue, A, because of the referendum, and B, because hopefully you continue to support the boycott. And that is what we really need. Nestlé has massive resources to portray itself as an ethical company. It spends over $7 billion a year on public relations globally. We have nothing in comparison to that. So it is through these sorts of campaigns that people hear about it, and hearing about it because Nestlé isn't in the shop and you have to walk down the road to buy your Nestlé products, well, that means somebody else knows the issues.
Now, this is a subject of this whole boycott issue that's been hotly debated on the UEA student forums recently on the student website. Now, one of the most original arguments against the boycott that I managed to find when I was trawling through there yesterday was one that said, is it not the role of international institutions to regulate this? So if there's a problem with the scrutiny that Nestlé are being put under by the WHO or whoever is responsible for this, surely we should be lobbying them rather than taking the law into our own hands and picking out individual companies. What's your response to that?
I totally agree that international institutions should be doing just that. And unfortunately, they are not. They, under pressure from transnational corporations, including Nestlé, they have followed the route of voluntary codes of conduct under the UN there is the Global Compact. Under the OECD, there's these guidelines. We do want to see an international regulatory system. I would like to see Nestlé CEO Peter Brabeck-Letmati before the International Criminal Court, but there's no way to bring transnationals before those bodies at present. What most of our work involves, in fact, is working with policymakers to introduce the World Health Assembly marketing requirements into national legislation. And we've had a lot of success in this. IPFAN holds training courses around the world. UNICEF and the World Health Organization pay for people from governments to attend those courses so they can then introduce legislation. And we find that where legislation is introduced and independently monitored and enforced, we're stopping violations. Breast milk substitutes elsewhere, breastfeeding rates are increasing, and that feeds through to lower infant mortality and morbidity. So when companies are forced to comply, they do comply, and we see the benefits for infant health very soon afterwards.
All right, Mike, finally, just before you go, if you were to leave this studio and bump into a student who wanted you to explain your position in 30 seconds to them, just sum up, how would you try and encourage them to vote for the boycott next week?
Aggressive marketing of baby foods is costing lives around the world. 1.5 million infants die every year because they're not breastfed. These facts are not in dispute, as UNICEF says. Nestlé is the worst of the companies in pushing its products, breaking international standards and putting its own profits before health. It takes note of the boycott. It hates it. It would hate it if UEA has a boycott, and it will have to take notice. We've already heard this news that perhaps now they will turn up to the tribunal, so we get movement step by step. So please support the boycott, and let's force all the changes we need to see.
All right, Mike Brady from Baby Milk Action, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Don't forget, the referendum on the Nestlé boycott takes place between 9 and 5 on Monday and Tuesday next week in the LCR here in Union House.